Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Super Mamas. How are you?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to your favorite podcast, the Super Mamas Podcast.
Super Mamas Podcast.
With your host, Paulina and Bricia. What's up, sister? My coffee hasn't kicked
in.
So I'm like, todavía no me despierto.
You know what? Girl, you and I both. You and I both.
I am so tired. I'm like, you know, like every morning when the when the kids are like, I don't want to go to school. I want to sleep. I feel like that today. I'm like, I don't want to go to school today.
I can't. Okay. I have to tell you guys. I have to tell you the shit my husband pulled on me.
Oh my God. I want to hear it. I can't hear it. Tell me.
This is so funny. Yesterday morning, I was like in the gym. I was doing my morning like stretching. He's like, oh, I can't wait for my the surprise you have for me today. And I was like, I'm all like, wait, what day is it? What's happening? I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, the surprise that you have been working on because you're going to be gone for like a week and then you've been so busy. And like, this is the day that you have free for me, right? Aren't you doing something for me?
What?
And I was like, oh, okay, he goes, wait, don't tell me. And then he goes, wait, don't tell me. I'll just wait for it.
Oh.
So I'm just like laughing. I'm like, what's wrong with you? What are you talking about? It's like, oh, stop being so coy. I know you planned this whole night for me. I can't wait for my surprise. And then I'm like, what are you saying? Day goes on, whatever. I call him. We always like have like a middle of the day call, you know?
Yeah.
So I call him. I was like, hey, babe. He's like, hi, I'm ready for my surprise. I can't wait. I go get a haircut. I'm like, I'm getting a haircut. And I was telling Sal, like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do tonight because my husband's apparently I needed to do a surprise. So he calls me in the middle of my haircut and I'm like, watch. He's going to talk about his surprise. So I answer and he told me about something else that happened. And he's like, did you tell Sal about the big surprise you have going on for me? He's like, Sal, has this whole night planned for me.
Oh my God.
I don't know what to do. Anyway, we ended up going to dinner.
Big surprise.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. We went to a restaurant we've never been to. I'm taking you to a Michelin star restaurant. Call it a night. What do you have on the show today?
Oh my God, today we have an amazing person, a friend, a dear personal friend of ours. And I've been wanting to have her for a long time. I think this is the perfect time. I think always like everything works the way that we want it. The universe always tells us at the right time. Linda just released her book last month, April, she released her book. It was kind of like the same time that you were doing your book. And I mean, Linda has lived many lives, like we were talking about on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We've had her on the show before in other facets of her life. And this time she came to talk about her book on wealth. So she's our personal friend. You can talk a little bit more about Linda, Bricia.
Long time friend of the show. She's, I think, second or third time in the show. Who knows? She's a Cala native, proud Latina. She is living what she considers her life's purpose, to help the Latinx community heal the generational money wounds that prevent them from achieving wealth. Linda launched her first stock market course for beginners and created a rapidly growing community of Latinx investors on Patreon and Instagram, known as In Loose We Trust. Today, Linda is a published children's book author, a self-made business owner, and a guiding loose for thousands of people of color who are looking to break free from limiting and toxic money mentalities. Linda's book, Wealth Warrior, was released on April 11th, and now it's available to purchase everywhere where books are sold, Target, Walmart, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your local bookstore. Without further ado, here is our interview with our girl, Linda Garcia.
Welcome to Super Mamas, Linda Garcia. How are you, my friend?
What up, what up, what up? I'm so excited to be here with you all today.
Is this your third time in the show?
Loose Warrior.
Second
time.
Second only?
Second time. Well, no, actually, I'm lying. I think I helped you host once when Paulina was in Oaxaca. So maybe it is three.
But you know what's crazy? Like every time you come, it's like a different you. And I'm like,
I also feel like you've lived like a million lives.
Yes. Keep like reinventing yourself every time. So if you listen, if you go
Linda's
back,
Linda's like J-Lo.
Yeah, for real. You go back and listen to all her episodes. They're about completely different things, all three of them. So this is amazing. Please keep it coming.
Excited.
Keep it coming.
I still get messages of like, I heard you on Super Mamas.
Aw.
Yeah. So shout out.
Well, congratulations on your newest baby. And we're here to talk about all of that. But when we went to your book signing, which was amazing, it was incredible having Mariachi and Barnes and Nobles.
Barnes and Nobles.
That was epic. It was so full. But everybody, like all the girls that were there, some of the girls were like, you gotta have her on Super Mama. So I'm like, she's been there, but we're gonna have her again. Don't worry, we'll have her again. So
that
here it is.
Been.
For all your requests out there, Linda Garcia finally on Super Mamas again.
Woo!
For the two people that don't know who you are, please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you live now. Who is Linda Garcia? Where are you at right now? And how you got here?
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure that part out. So, well, my name is Linda Garcia. I go by Luz Warrior on Instagram. And I've been on this journey of life of self-discovery, as Paulina mentioned, where I'm just really trying to identify moment to moment what is my pure journey, what is true to my story. And I love to explore the possibilities of what I can become, how I can evolve. And so in this episode, I just finished a book called Wealth Warrior, where I lay out 8 very simple steps to get started in the stock market, specifically dedicated towards people of color. And I am in my money era. I am in my let's figure out our relationship with money and push boundaries and understand how the system works.
Thank you for putting that out there, because I know myself, I barely started investing on the stock market not so long ago. And it's still a very unknown world. And the reason why I started was because Bricia, Patty Rodriguez kept like talking about it. I was like, fine, I'll go all in. I started going, there was a lot of text messages about like how to do it, where to start. But I think a lot of people are still very intimidated, right? Like a lot of people of color particularly feel that that's not something for us. That's not something that I should be doing. I don't even know where to start. It's very intimidating.
Yeah. I mean, if we look at it in the context of pure numbers and facts, direct shareholders, there are only 15% of Americans participating. People participate via their 401k, via like mutual funds and index funds, but actual shareholders in this country where you have a brokerage account and you own a share of XYZ stock, that is only 15% of Americans in the United States. And then if we take that statistic even deeper, out of those 15%, 90% of them are white, which is no real surprise there. 1% is Black and 0.5% is the Latina community. So when people have these feelings of this space is not for us, it's because we really don't see ourselves reflected in it.
I tell my kids, last time I was at Disneyland, I told my kids, you know, I'm part owner of this place. And they were like, yeah. What? I was like, a very tiny part, but I am. And so I think like that's the easiest way to explain
it. You're like, why is it dirty out here? You're like, why is it dirty?
I'm like, hey.
Clean over here. My business
like, what's
is dirty.
Going on?
You pick know? Up the trash.
Pick up the trash.
Pick up the trash. Come on, guys.
Hey, what are you doing? Like,
come on,
you're
losing money. Come on. I have dividends coming in. This can't cut into this.
Right? But you are direct owner of all these companies when companies go public. But Linda, how did you start? Because when I met you on your other life, you were not the wealth warrior. You were in a totally different stage of your life.
She was, though. She was, though.
I was low-key undercover. The only people that knew were Patty. Patty and Bricia were the only two people I ever shared that with. It was very private. I was afraid to talk about my investments because I felt like there would be judgment. I felt like we don't talk about money. It's not something we do. And I feel like Bricia really created a safe space for Patty and I to have these types of conversations. Patty and I have talked about this before on how, like, before we started talking about money, the three of us, Bricia, Patty, and I, that we had never had those types of conversations before, where I think Bricia, coming from entrepreneurship and what your family has been able to create, was much more comfortable having desires of like, I want to be rich. I want to have more money. And I think like that was a new space that Patty and I were stepping into. And so I kept it really under wraps, most especially because I was also working on building a community that was rooted in spirituality. And back then, I feel like not so much anymore, but back then, you can't be spiritual and rich. Like those were two separate ideas or identities, which is such bullshit. That's not true. But there wasn't a bridge in between the two. And so I started learning about the stock market in 2012 by a coworker when I worked at Netflix, and having the exposure of working at a tech company and seeing all of the capital that was coming in and how like white men raised money really started to expand my mind. And then I was being educated by a colleague on like, you really need to own shares, like stop the bullshit, like own shares. And I bit the bullet in January of 2013. And I was just consistent. And I was consistent, and I would have dialogues with Patty and Bricia behind the scenes undercover. And then in 2020, I was like, I have to be public about this. I felt like I was gatekeeping.
Wow. I love that. So what were those conversations like, Bricia, and between you and Bricia and Linda and Patty, those behind the scenes private conversations? Give us a little scoop.
I mean, it just all went down on the group chat. So here is a little bit of, well, number one, you'll have to get her book before we continue on. Go on anywhere where books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, your local bookshop. Preferably a small bookstore. And if it's not there, please request it. But it should be there. Wealth Warrior, right, Linda? Full name of your book.
Wealth Warrior, 8 Steps for Communities of Color to Conquer the Stock Market.
Yes, because everything is really put there beautifully of her journey. Before I continue, I just want to say, I read your book. I know you for a very, very long time. And I feel like you and I are very close friends. Yet there was still shit in there that I had no idea that you had gone through. And I was reading it and I was like crying. And I was like, I just didn't know this about Linda. I was like, you should read this book too. He was like, okay, I am. But there's so much about your life there that you are so open with. And again, I'm a close friend of yours. I had no idea that you had gone through all of this trauma and just your journey and how you were just always so, I think that you were always on this money wealth journey, but like you said, you weren't very open about it. But like, I feel like you were. I think like there was a moment in your life when you were starting in your spiritual journey where you probably weren't, but I think before then, I feel like you were very open. I feel like when we were just hanging out with girlfriends, those are the common conversations that we were having, right? In fact, the first stock I ever owned was Netflix. Because we were talking about it and then kind of having the first step and having these conversations. But to answer Paulina's questions, how did it all come down? To be honest, I don't remember. I read it in the book and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's how it started. I don't remember. It just sort of happened. I think we started our relationship even before we had children, right? We've had like our relationship has evolved with us growing. And I feel like first it was very much of like, hey, let's go out, let's do this. And then it became a little bit deeper, more like professional level. And then it was more of, let's talk about what are we doing with our money and how can we save and how can we not save? I don't think that we never used that word. It was like, how can we invest? How can we make it grow? And what were you doing? Then I bought my home. Then Patty bought her home. So it was just like a lot of similarities in her journey. And I think the supermoms know, like, I really don't have any filter when I speak. Maybe I should. But I just sort of talk and I just like, I'm very open with everything. And I think like that allowed for us to just be vulnerable with each other. But I learned a lot from Linda, like a lot. Like you knew a lot more than I did. And Patty also knows a lot. So it was just a conversation on the group chat that instead of us talking about going to the club, because we were just sort of like in a different era of our lives, we were talking about, hey, like if we were analysts, God knows I'm not an analyst, but like, what do you guys think is going to happen and this and that? And like, should we do this? Should we do that? And yeah, and just following through and just being accountable to each other as far as being smart with our money. And I think that's just sort of like where it stemmed from and it stayed. And like now really spreading the gospel to the younger generations of Latinos and Latinas, because it's so important. And I'm going to just do one more rant before I stop talking. But this weekend I was at Taco Madness and I met the singer. His name is Danny Lux, who is just, he's 19 years old. Okay. And him and his bandmates were going to go up there and sing. And I saw them and all I saw was like my little boy. They were like these 19, 22 year old like kids who are just like on the up and up, and they're, you know, they're excited and they're 19 years old. I was there hanging out and I was like, listen, kids, be smart with your money. Don't let women get in the way. Don't drink and don't do drugs. Like, you're representing a culture. Please. Like, I was just like, I looked at them and I like, just please, like, promise me.
Don't drink and don't do drugs.
Be smart with your money. Don't do drugs. And don't let women get in the way. Like, don't get anyone, you know? And they were just like, okay. And I'm like, I've become that person. Like, I'm just like this old woman now going around telling kids, like, don't do drugs. Invest your money, you know?
Stay anyway, in school.
No, but they're not in school anymore. I mean, they're out there doing, living their dream. That's like, he performed in Coachella. Like, he's a big, you know, but
wow,
19 years old with all the popularity, with like all these things coming at him. Like, every time I hear of these artists coming up, I'm like, oh, dear Lord, please help them be smart with their money. Like, that's all, like, that's the first thing that comes out of my mind. I'm like, please, like, don't be like MC Hammer.
I think about MC Hammer often, okay? He traumatized me.
I want to know about MC Hammer. Everybody wants to know about MC Hammer.
He had all his friends on payroll and was paying for everything, flipping the bill, and lost all his money.
Oh my God. Well, the reason why I was asking about the conversations in those texts is because there's always been this idea of like, oh no, we don't talk about money, politics, and like religion with friends, right? And it's been this thing where people are like, oh, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that with our friends. We just keep it superficial. So I think it's important for people to know that these conversations can be had and should be had with friends. Like, you know, you should be talking about this. Like, how did you do it to grow your money? What are you doing? Because sometimes people don't know what to do, or they have money and they're just saving it. God knows, like, my parents were the kind of people that would save money under the mattress for a long time. And so it's like, it's a change in mentality. It's a change in everything. But to normalize these conversations and like make sure that if you have friends, ask them. Let's ask these questions, right?
Yeah. Well, we really created a safe space for us to do that. And I think we all had our own expertise, like area of expertise, the three of us. And then layered on top of that was the safe space to really dream and stretch for things that we wanted for ourselves. That was a solely safe space. And so in the book, to your point, Paulina, I really talk about the importance of having money conscious family, that a chosen money conscious family. And so that was the example of it, was where my money conscious relationship started and with who, and the possibilities of that. Because a lot of the times we don't know what we don't know. We can't dream what we don't know we can dream. And so when we're having these types of conversations with one another, I really truly believe that it expands our minds to put us in situations we never saw ourselves in. And so, yes, I agree with you 100%. I feel like for Patricia, she's like, you've always been this way. And I think at the core, yes, I have. But I've never really exposed that side of me until more recently, where I was like, fuck, I don't care what anybody thinks. Are we allowed to cuss on here?
Oh, yeah. We're allowed to do anything you want. We don't care. There's no filters in this show.
Let's go.
Trust me, there's cussing in every show.
Okay. And trust me, I wish there were filters. Sometimes I feel like I need a filter. I need a filter to travel with me. Be like,
I need to edit it. We need to edit it down, but it's then over 300 episodes of like no filters.
Cussing.
Okay. We need to change the mentality for the next people that are coming. My kids, your kids, our kids. They need to have a different relationship with money.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's an incident, but like what do you call an experience with one of my daughters that I realized she was charging.
Oh yeah.
Like, One day I was with my daughter, Sabina, and I was going to the doctor's appointment and I needed someone to go with me. So I picked her up from school and I was waiting for the Uber. And then all of a sudden I look at my phone and I got a notification saying like my Apple card was being charged for something. You know, you have notifications. And I was like, huh, weird. Okay. Like, is it maybe for like a subscription or something? And then like 5 minutes later, I get another one and I'm like, what? So then I go in and I open it up. This girl had $10 charges on Roblox. And she was just like, bing, bing, bing. You know, she was just like going. And I, first of all, I had no idea how that happened because all my kids had, I thought they had locks and things to, for them not to do that. But she racked up almost $400 in like an hour for charges. So the conversation that I had to have with her about money and like how much was $400 and what that meant, I felt like the worst mother because she, I don't know if she just didn't care. She didn't get it. I was like, you have no idea. There's people that live with this money for like a whole week and groceries and this. And I was trying to like give her this whole spiel about money and this and what it means and the hard work and all of this. And she just went like, okay, you know, she was just like, all right, mom, sure. I said 6 months, no iPad, you know. She tells me yesterday, there's only 3 months more left I get my iPad.
She's halfway.
Oh yeah, she's halfway. And I told her that she was going to have to pay me with chores. I said, every chore is going to be, you know, worth this much. And until you get to the amount that you owe me, we'll have this conversation again. But having those conversations with money and making our children understand what it means and what it does, I think it's challenging too, to explain to kids about money if we don't understand it.
Oh, 1000%.
Yeah.
There's two things I want to say on this is, one thing is Benny, you know, he plays Roblox as well. And I'd say maybe like a year and a half ago, I was watching him play and his cousins have like, they get Robux money frequently.
Oh,
Benny
skin.
Had never gotten. Yeah. And so Benny is like really poor, I guess, quote unquote. I don't know on Robux yes. where like he doesn't own things, but his cousins have like mansions mm-hmm, and all of mm-hmm. this stuff, you know? So we had to go into a conversation on like what it meant to not have like the latest clothes on Robux or the latest house or the latest cars, which it blew my mind. I'm like,
what?
I cannot believe
yes.
that I'm having. Yeah, because yes. they're like, oh, Benny doesn't have a home. He's asking to be adopted so he can live in here. Like, why don't your parents give you money so you can have a
yes.
home? I'm like,
yes, this is. And Sabina was just like, bam, 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 bam. You know, she was just like. Dropping dollars, right, making it rain. Like she's got the diamonds and the things, you know, but the one thing that I did see and I liked was that she was negotiating. She was trading, she was doing, but I was like, not on my dime, girl, not on my dime.
What?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. This is
wild.
Happening. It's wild out there in the, what is it called? The meta world. Is that the meta world, right?
Yeah. So there, I mean, it could be a vehicle for conversation.
So what kind of conversation did you have with Benny and how is he still, and is he still poor in Roblox? And is he still looking for a home?
He is still pretty poor in Roblox. He did recently, he has his priorities straight, which was what I wanted to go into in terms of like what he's did. His first purchase, which was last week, because one of his DS was like, let me just give this boy some Robux money for his birthday. He bought a Tesla.
Oh, nice.
So he's
what?
He's,
you can buy. I'm so, my son doesn't play Roblox, so I have no idea how this goes down.
God bless his heart. Don't.
So he lives in his Tesla. That's like that.
Oh so
he might not have a home, but he has a Tesla.
And he's environmentally conscious. Okay.
Exactly.
He is eco-friendly. I know. It's so funny.
But ultimately, I think what the conversation came down to for him is that he wasn't interested in using his resources like for his current money to spend on Robux. I think he had been so poor for such a long time. That he was like, I'm not going to use my resources. So he does get really money conscious. And I think there are bouts in him where I can see a little bit of money scarcity where when he has money and it's like he's deciding whether he wants to spend it or not, he really sits and calculates, how much am I going to have left after I spend this?
Wow.
And it stresses him out.
He is now six.
He just turned seven.
Seven. Okay, he just turned seven.
Yeah. So he really sits and thinks about like, how much am I going to have left?
Boy now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I try to explain to him a lot. I try to instill the thought of abundance and that money comes and money also goes. And so if you want to generate more money, it's just the process of generating it. How are you going to come up with making more money? It doesn't mean that because he spent it and that's all he has left, that's all he's going to have left. So I see bouts of scarcity in there for him, which might be because money has been a central part of a lot of his upbringing, just being here in the house and listening to the yeah. conversations. So I think like when you start to, as a parent, when you start to have these types of conversations on investing and things like that, I feel like a lot is absorbed by osmosis. Our children will begin to grasp understandings. Something I talk about in the book where Benny had just turned 3 years old and he's watching a children's wrestling movie. And there's a scene in the movie where a bad guy goes into a diner that all the kids were hanging out at, and he pretends to have a gun under his shirt and with his hand wants to get money from the place, like holds it up. And the person at the register is like freaked out. The kids are freaked out. They're under the table hiding. And Benny pauses the movie and he has this really important moment of reflection. And he's like, I feel so bad for him. And in my head, I'm like, for the guy that's getting held up, for the children under the table, like, who do you feel bad for? Never in my mind did I think he was going to respond with, I feel bad for the man that is robbing the diner. And I was like, why? And he's like, because all he needs is money. That's all he needs. He's only looking for money. Mm. And he just doesn't know how to get it.
True.
So it was like,
oh my God.
The deduction of that. He's like, yeah. He needs to. I was like, where do you get money then, Benny? And he's like, well, you just go to the stock market. You know? But I mean,
you know, that's so easy.
Yeah, like so easy. Like we got to teach him. We got to teach him that you got to go to the stock market to get the money. And I found that really like, wow, I might not be directly having day-to-day conversations, but he's absorbing something via osmosis. I think sometimes we underestimate what they are and aren't understanding at the same time.
For sure. For sure. So I think it's for us to have those conversations, we ourselves need to be educated on those. And that's why we all need to get the Wealth Warrior so we can understand it and don't be afraid of it. Because I think you're afraid of the unknown. That's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of what you don't know. And once you get it and you get familiar with it, then you are not afraid anymore. And you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad, right? Like the first time that I bought some stock, I was like, oh. And yes, at the beginning, I would look at it every day and I would see up and downs and I would look at it like every single day. And I was like, there's no change. Like, what's the point of this? But now when I look back and I look at my, what is it called? The returns and things, I'm like, oh, okay. Like it's just, I always tell people this is a long-term thing, but I'm not scared anymore. I'm not scared. I don't see it. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm still like a mild investor, I would say, not aggressive. Sure. But I want to get there. Like that's I do want to get there. So what are some of the 8 steps, Linda, that people give us a little snippet so that a preview so then people can go and just grab that book?
Yeah. So I think you brought something up really important is like fear and the emotional component that comes with the stock market. So the book really lays it out extremely simple, basic level entry point. It is 1000% a resource. You have a glossary in there that gives you the language of the stock market because it has its own complete language. So it gives you the mm-hmm. basics. But at the root, like one of the core steps is identifying your own relationship with money and money scarcity, because I believe that you can learn as much financial literacy as you want to, but if you haven't really worked on your own personal relationship with money, then it's going to affect the way you invest. So it's important to like clean up the relationship with money. And it doesn't mean that you have to clean it up before you get started. I think it's something that happens in conjunction with investing.
So I take on core like relationship with money so that you can identify that. And then we go into very basic understanding of the stock charts. I also go into understanding the fundamentals of investing. There's two types of investing. There's the technicals and the fundamentals, which goes into the stock charts, and then which goes into like the financial documents of a company. And I know this sounds very overwhelming, but I explain it in such an easy way that is digestible and makes it easy to process. And then we go into the simple act of opening a brokerage account and taking the step of identifying what your budget should be monthly and making that move. And like Patricia said earlier, my entire life is intertwined into the book. So it never really feels heavy or like you're bored because there's a lot of personal lessons through each one of these processes that we go through.
Yeah, I think because a lot of people think also that that is boring, right? I mean, if I think back when I was a child and my parents would watch the news and then at the bottom there was this like whole like a bunch of numbers just running, right? Like still to this day, there's like a bunch of numbers running in the bottom of it, like NASDAQ, this. And then people are like, oh my God, the NASDAQ went up. And you're like, I don't even know what that means. Like, should I be scared? Like, I don't know, right? And so that's the idea that you have of the stock market, like the NASDAQ. Yeah. And if the NASDAQ goes down, shit goes down. So, you know, so it's very, it's not fun. Like it's not appealing to a lot of people. So it's appreciated that you do it in a more digestible way, because I feel like that's what has people be like, I don't want to, I'll just put it on my bank because that's less complicated.
And unfortunately, that's you. That's us losing money right now. It's good. We have high interest rates, so we're able to make some sort of return. But when you actually look at the amount of return that you can make in a lot of these companies that we're constantly shopping at, consuming, going to, it's incredible. Especially for us, because we come from families that are extremely hardworking. And in some cases, as children of immigrants, they may have multiple jobs to try and generate money. So the concept of not having to work for money, but to actually just make an investment and understand that you don't make a lot of money by working. You actually make a lot of money by investing. Money begets more money. Mm-hmm. The only way you can build generational wealth is if you use the money that is coming in and then invest it. That's the only way. And there's three ways to do that. It's real estate, being an entrepreneur and owning your own business, and the stock market. And unfortunately, the stock market has been such a big secret and kept away and so complex and all of those things. But I think it's a really viable resource. Like for the stock market, you don't need 20% down. You don't need to worry about whether you have enough job history or your credit is good. Like it's a very easy way for kids to get started on investing and owning assets. For us in our communities, we've been taught like the buying the house is the American dream. And while real estate has
just paying it off.
Yeah, or just paying it off. Yes. And while real estate has been proven to be a great investment, the stock market is so much more accessible.
Right.
Once you understand it and easy to execute.
That's true.
I will say that the way that you, I would have to say that the way that you write the book, and then whether you make parallels in real life scenarios to what the stock market is, was very refreshing. And I am learning a lot of new things that I didn't know. Because you will never stop learning in your life. And as much as you think you know, there's so much other jargon and new things are coming up in the industry that you should be aware of, especially if you're thinking long term. Like I love the way that you actually compared a stock market to a market, like to an actual grocery store, and going through the aisles and picking things up. And I was like, wow, this is so smart. Like this, it just sort of clicked in a different way, especially for people who are very visual and don't understand it. And like, and it's not even about dumbing it down, because it doesn't mean that you're dumb. It's just like, it's just relatable, because these things shouldn't be hard to know. And like you say in your book, they're just new words that were created to keep a lot of people out. But once you reconnect certain words and understand what they actually are in essence, it's very simple to get started. And I honestly really, really love the book. And I have been recommending it to everyone. And I think it's one of these things that everyone should have in our book, everyone should have in their home, share with their children. I think this could be a book that even a 12, a 14-year-old can read, because it's written in a beautiful way. And I think there are some curse words in there, if I'm not mistaken.
There
but
is.
I think like not to the point where like a 12-year-old, 14-year-old wouldn't understand. And also really, and also really beautiful to have your life intertwined with everything, because it kind of gives you a little breathing room in between, like I'm learning, but I'm also relating to her and I'm also getting to know her. And it was such smart writing and such beautiful writing. Also, it was so easy to read and so beautiful. And I mean, I loved it. I can say you should be very, very proud of what you've created. And I'm sure the whole world is going to read it at some point. Like I genuinely love this. And I haven't got my husband to read, because right now he's into another book, but I'm like, this is like the next one that you have to read. So
I want to give it to my daughter, my 11-year-old. I need her. I want her to read it.
But before we say, I know we like running out of time, but I do want to know, so I would love to know what systems you personally have. Linda, I know you're different because you do this full time, but I would love to know what systems you have. Where do you keep your money? What percentage of, you know, what comes in every day? How do you keep your finances? How do you keep your finances with your partner? Just to give us like an overall 411 so people can maybe copy what you do or take things away from what you're going to say.
Sure. So my stock portfolio is my stock portfolio. Alfonso has his own portfolio that is separate from mine. So we don't share our portfolios. That's just because I started investing on my own without him. And it's also because he has the issues like money wounds and money scarcity, and he is not as focused on it as I am. So I don't think it's just my thing that I'm doing for myself, and I don't like to include him. I made the mistake of including him before, and that proved to be a really bad mistake. And so it's just something that I do for myself. But I think, you know, you can have a joint account. You can do what is right for your family. This is just what works for my family. I am trying to be extremely conscious of consistently investing. Whether it's a technical recession or not, we do understand that the economy is shrinking and there are a lot of folks that are being laid off. Revenue in our business, in my business specifically, has shrunk. And I've been so focused on the book. And when you're out there selling the book, it doesn't necessarily bring revenue. And so I've seen the pain from that. Yes. So I've had to cut back.
I'm like, for one fellow author to another, I understand.
No. I know. It's like, you're so divided. Your energy is divided as an entrepreneur and as an author. But the focus right now is to really sell the book. And so with that, my revenue has pulled back significantly. So in the last 2 months, I have not invested, but that doesn't mean that I am not an investor and I hold very strong positions. And this is something that I want to be very transparent about and open about, because it's twofold here. What you have to know is that holding and not necessarily consistently always buying is also a position. The most important position you will have is holding. That is going to be the most important position. And so if there's times in your life where you have to pull back and hold and take a moment, that's okay. That's part of the process, right? Obviously, if I had a consistent revenue, if I wasn't an entrepreneur, if I was working for someone, I would definitely be disciplined at this, especially right now, because the stock market is basically on sale. This is the most important time for families to get started in the market. The timing of the book couldn't have been much better, where we're understanding how this part of the machine works, because this is going to be the beginning of another bull run. And what that means is like that you're going to be able to build much more revenue in the sector of the stock market. The book is very beginner friendly and starter friendly. So I don't want you to get overwhelmed by my position or anyone else's position. I also find it very important to invest in what I understand. So my portfolio is heavy on tech. That's not something that I necessarily recommend. It's just something that my expertise has led me to in terms of like working at Netflix and understanding disruptive industries. But I would highly recommend to simply invest in what you participate in and in what you understand from a consumer's perspective. The fact that Paulina has Disney stock is like chef's kiss. Like, Of course, you should have Disney stock. You're paying
Target
for Target, exactly. Costco. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, there's so many great.
I'm gonna tell you guys,
shares out
Costco
there.
Is the ultimate, most streamlined company, more like efficient. I can't even begin to tell you how incredible Costco is as a company.
Yes, Costco, hands down. It's a defensive stock too, which means that when the economy is down, this is not investing advice. This is just me, entertainment purposes only. But when the economy is down, exactly.
Fine print.
We're still going to shop in bulk at Costco because we understand the value of buying in bulk even more during a down economy.
Yeah.
100%.
And then my last question, just because I've had a lot of people
rewind. How do you keep your money? What's like how do you have your laid out? Like, is it
how much
mutual
of
funds?
It?
Is it like, what do you have percentage like stacked up in actual cash? Do you have it in like bonds? Like what is your portfolio look like?
So I am very stock heavy. I will forever probably be more of like a Warren Buffett, where I will be stock heavy. There's investors that will focus on real estate and have a little bit of stocks, but I am a stock-driven investor. I do not have mutual funds. I own full shares. The most I'll explore into a basket is an ETF, but that trades similar as a share. I do carry money in cash. I do think it's important right now, especially for the economy that we're in, only because I'm looking for opportunities.
And this is like hard cash, like in a savings account, like a high yield savings account?
Yeah. Okay. But for the most part, my portfolio, and I don't see this changing, to be genuine with you all, I am stock market focus driven investor. For me, that's like what excites me. I love to learn about businesses and break down businesses and see the disruption. That's just like my jam. That is not what a standard American family should be doing. You should have, unless you love the stock market and are obsessed with it, but you should have exposure into the stock market. You absolutely should have exposure. Yes. And then, you know, real estate, entrepreneurship, however else you're diversifying. And for me, it's my main focus is the stock market and entrepreneurship, like investing in myself as well. And then I think that there hopefully will be an opportunity where I see fit that I could diversify into real estate. But for now, I don't see that opportunity right this moment.
Yeah, right now it's not the time.
What are your thoughts on all these banks going bankrupt? How is this going to affect me?
That was my last question. I was like, what is happening with the world right now? How worried?
Because once I saw First Republic go down, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
I mean, when the first one, I was like, okay,
Silicon
but now.
Silicon Valley, I mean.
It's all about, it's in the tech world, right?
Yes. So the biggest concern, the reason Silicon Valley, from my perspective and my understanding, why it went down first is because it had a lot of riskier investments into tech entrepreneurship. So into startup business that right now is a really risky business because there isn't capital. We're not making as much revenue. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's massive canary in the coal mine. And we're seeing that now where
¿qué significa eso?
So canary in the coal mine is when the men would dig out coals from a coal mine, mm-hmm. they would put a canary in to alert the men where there's gases and danger coming. So the bird would start chirping and going crazy and they knew they had to exit the coal mine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Digo, gracias. So now I know what to say. Now I have a new thing in my arsenal. Like, it's the canary in the coal mine.
Yes. Something about a bird. It's just something about a bird
chirping.
Something's happening with a bird. Is it the Twitter bird?
Exactly. Exactly. So I do think that it is the bank that is raising red flags. Here's what I find really interesting because regional banks are starting to go down. On Friday, PacWest, another bank in Tennessee. And so here's the government is not from my perspective. I get so hyped up and so amped up when I talk
about
this.
Tell me everything.
Okay. From my perspective, I think that the government is not going to allow for these banks to fail. Not only the government, but the major banks. So mm-hmm. here's what happened. As soon as PacWest started showing trouble, what they announced is that they were looking for someone, exactly, Paulina. They were looking for a buyer and they were looking for strategic planning. The stock market, their stock dropped by 65%, PacWest. So it was like an emergency. The S&P 500 is dropping. So you know someone is going to step in. That's the pattern we've seen consistently throughout the United States of America. And so immediately, what the biggest bank, which is JP Morgan Chase, what they do not want is for anyone to leave even regional banks. Some people would think, but they're competitors, like they're not. No, it's a bank industry. And the last thing you want is for local regional banks to have people do bank runs, which is when you start withdrawing all your money. And then that eventually, it's like a tidal wave, right? So you see JP Morgan is on a big hill and all the little casitas by the beach start to get taken over by this wave. Eventually, the tidal wave will affect the bigger mansion up at the top of the hill. So it behooves JP Morgan to buy out banks to support. And what happened that was really interesting on Friday is that one of the JP Morgan Chase analysts said these regional banks, three regional banks, are currently a buy. Buy those shares now. So analysts, they study the market and they'll tell you what to buy, what to sell, what to hold. And when they declared that, people started buying. And to me, that was just JP Morgan Chase like taking care of themselves. I don't think basically that they are going to let these smaller banks falter. This is why we saw Biden step in immediately to say, even if you had more than $250,000, we're going to cover your money that you had in your bank. The government is going to cover everyone. Do not worry. That's a way to protect our entire economy and make sure we're propping it up. Now, the negative I see to that is that that is what 2020, that's what we did in 2020. Mm-hmm. We propped it up with all of this money and we're kind of just kicking the can down the road. Like we're not dealing with the issue. And now what we're facing, the turmoil we're facing is because of all of the money that flooded the market back in 2020. And so I think we have obviously a disaster right now. I think there's issues, but I do believe that we're going to come up with creative ideas to rectify these issues. And I think this is the best time ever, the biggest opportunity. So one of the reasons I became so passionate about understanding the economy and understanding money is because I was broke AF in 2008. I was getting evicted from my home. I was like, I didn't have anything to my name. I had a degree and it didn't mean anything. And during that time, I started learning about money. That's when I started learning about money. So when Bricia's like, I feel like this has always been you. Yes, but I never shared it. And I started to understand that when the economy crashes, that is when millionaires are made. That is when people get rich. That is when the next wave of millionaires are going to come out of. So in 2008, Bitcoin was invented. A new asset class was invented. It's because as humans, we become resourceful when our elements are restricted. When we don't have our elements outside, we start to use our brain and start to problem solve. And so that's what we're going to start to see in this round. Millionaires are going to be made. You have to buy Wealth Warrior, the book, so that you can get started on identifying your money wounds.
Yeah.
And working through that. And start having these types of conversations. Listen, I'm not an economics person. I flunked in accounting, like all the things. But we have the brain potential to learn and have these types of conversations with our homegirls, our mom friends, all that stuff. I know we're late. I know we're over time. And I'm like, I could hear you.
It's fine. Just keep going. I'm just like, tell me more. This is so interesting, refreshing, and also calming, I think, because like, there's all this fear mongering happening. The more if I open the news every day, I'm like, I don't want to get out of my house. You know, I don't want to leave my bubble. But I think that people just get really scared with these kind of things and they don't understand the other side that you're explaining, right? These are opportunities. These are things, these are the times where we need to like get smart about things. And we just came out of another, I'm like, we can do this. Like, we'll just keep reinventing.
Before we say goodbye, Linda, I know you're not a certified financial advisor, which I didn't even know those things were a thing. Where should we be putting our money now?
Okay, I'm going to answer this question for you as my friend, Bricia.
Which is why I asked.
Right?
I'm so happy I have your cell phone number. I'll be like, hey, Linda.
Where am I stashing my cash? Where am I stashing the $20 I have in my pocket? Should I remodel my kitchen? Should I put it somewhere else? Like, where am I putting my money?
I think that we had a great opportunity pre-2020 to do remodeling and enhance our home. I think we had a great time in 2020 to build real estate portfolio during 2020, 2021 into 2022. I genuinely think that we should really be hyper-focused on the stock market right now.
Okay.
And I have a car I like to drive. You know what car that is. And so what that person over there is doing is pretty remarkable despite the controversy and the dislike that that person gets. He's also solely the only person that's taking on global issues and problem solving for him. I think we just like to dislike him. I think in 20 years from now, yeah, it's going to be all good.
20 years. 20 years.
No.
Okay.
I'll be like, we'll be like Warren Buffett, where our portfolio and the value of our portfolio.
Yeah. So I love what you said about holding too.
Yeah. Because
I also haven't been investing and I'm like, should I? Like, why haven't I? You know, it's just not calling me. But yeah, I think that it's time to just start putting a dollar here and a dollar there and just like,
for sure.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. We could talk to you for hours. We should have you back as like our quarter, como se dice? Like quarter analyst.
Quarter analyst.
And be like, quarter analyst. Like, what are we expecting for the next quarter? And we need to put those graphics at the bottom of the, you know, the episode too. Just for fun. So thank you so much. Tell us where to find you. Where can we follow you? Where can we get your, I know you every day, you have your daily bread. So tell us all things where we can follow you and get all the information.
Awesome. Yeah. So you can follow Stock News at In Luz We Trust, Luz being L-U-Z in Spanish. And you can get that via Instagram on just static posts where you can read through the most important news of the day, or you can get it on TikTok in audio format with videos and stuff. And then my personal Instagram at Luz Warrior, where I take on more of like the money mindset type vibe, at In Luz We Trust is dedicated to the stock market. And then our website, inluzwetrust.com. We have a community, obviously the book. Since I have all of my audio mamas listening, it's available on Audible. So you can purchase it and listen to it on your drive.
Do you narrate?
I do. I had to audition.
Oh.
But I got it. I landed it.
You landed your audition on your book. Great.
I know. I'm like, what do you mean I have to audition? Like, this is bullshit.
They're like, we got to make sure that you know how to read. Yeah, no, you have exactly. You have great voice. I mean, you do. You landed it.
You do have a
thank
great
you.
Voice.
Yes.
It's very soothing. Great. Well, thank you so much for being here, my friend. And we'll see you next quarter.
Thank you. I love you all. Thank you for having me.
And we are back on the show.
We are back.
That was a great. There was so much helpful information.
She's the best. She's just the absolute best. There's no other way of saying it. She's just the best.
She makes it really approachable, which I really, really, really like. Mm-hmm. Sister, what is your pick or tip this week?
Pick or tip this week. Actually, this week I'm not gonna have a pick. All I'm going to say is I am looking for some good travel solutions, travel bags. If any one of you, I'm asking for a pick. Honestly, I'm like, I'm just looking. I've been like, you know how, have you seen those things on TikTok where people just like, oh, I'm traveling and these are like my travel essentials?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through like a rabbit hole of travel essentials. It's so hard to find like a good travel bag, like to keep all your toiletries.
Yeah. I've had the same one. I've had the same toiletry bag forever. And I absolutely love it. Back when Dulce Candy had a toiletry bag, I think it was with Target.
Uh-huh.
I've had that for years and it's the absolute best. I love it. I've never changed it. I've never had it. And it lasted me this long. It looks the same. I love it.
Oh my God. Send it to me. So like I have one broke, which I loved. I love my toiletry bag and like the zipper broke and I was so bummed. It was like the night I loved that bag. And now I'm trying to find a new one.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you are doing a lot of traveling for sure. Like, but you're already great with you were the one that got us all into the packing cubes and.
Yeah. Well, packing cubes I have. I mean, like to keep like my makeup, because I need to travel with like my makeup, like full on like makeup. I need to travel with like all my skincare. I need to travel with like, now I travel with skincare, hair care, and makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm, if it's a quick one, I'm fine. But if it's like a long one where I have to do, and I have to do my own makeup, I have to do my own hair. Like, I need to take stuff. So anyway.
Yeah.
I'm out here looking, guys.
Travel size everything. I love travel size things. Talking about travel size, you know, we have the travel size micheladas and the travel size chamoy. So I'm, those you can get on your bags when you travel everywhere. Are you taking them?
Oh, 100%. Is that your pick?
That is my pick. When you travel, take your travel size micheladas and your travel size chamoy. Start the party going on the plane. Take your party with you.
Yo, you know what? I will say the chamoy is bomb.
That's my pick. Bomb.
Chamoy.
Chamoy is so
bomb. Available on Amazon. Amazon Prime. So grab it.
What? Chamoy on Amazon Prime. That is my picker tip. Traveling. It's all about traveling. And it is our chamoy and our michelada mix. Travel size for ounces. I was going to say FDA approved. It is FDA approved, but it's also TSA approved.
TSA and FDA approved.
TSA and FDA approved. All approved. Travel. Grab it. ilovemicheladas.com. ilovemole.com. All the .coms. That's it for this week.
Did you say all the .coms?
All of our .coms. I love mole. I love micheladas. I love you, sister.com.
Aw, me too. We should register that.
We should. Oh my God. Let's do it right now before someone else does it. Remember when they did that with my children's names? Jesus. Anyway, before they were even out there.
That's hilarious.
That's it for the show, guys. We will see you next week. Bye.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at _supermamas and on Twitter, also at _supermamas and in the face at supermamas podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your super mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love and see you next week.
Supermamas!